Good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. As I address for a few moments, deep encouragement for ministry. If you are a child of God, you are in ministry. And I don't know of anyone in ministry who does not need encouragement. And this is what the Apostle Paul is doing for us today. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Hear now the Word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In our Bibles, we have two books written to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. What devoted students of the New Testament have concluded is that 2 Corinthians is a compilation of several letters from Paul. For example, if you take chapters 10 through 13, you can tell that Paul is engaged in polemics. He is coming back to those who doubt his authenticity as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In chapters 8 and 9, you see one of the best descriptions of what it means to be stewards of all that God has given us. In chapters 1 through 7, Paul is given to us a rationale or a theology of and for his ministry. Now, if each of us is engaged in ministry, what is your rationale for ministry? Why are you doing what you are doing? Why are you engaged in what you are engaged in for the cause of Christ? Now, to provide some context for this, I think it's important to remember that in Paul's lifetime, according to Martin E. Marty at the University of Chicago, a devout believer in Jesus Christ, he says the Apostle Paul in the first century traveled 8,000 chartable miles on behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ, based upon his calling in Jesus Christ. He also tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 what he faced as a result of his calling. Listen at this. Paul says, I have been in prison, I have been flogged, I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open seas. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from the bandits, in danger from the fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold, I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. And yet, in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians especially, he's being called upon the carpet, doubting his authenticity of apostleship. So what would Paul do? How would he respond? Now, as you listen to how I articulate how he responded, how and what is your rationale? What is your theology for ministry in the 21st century? Now, what Paul does is this. First of all, he tells why he did what he did. And then secondly, he tells us how he did what he did. So let's begin, first of all, by looking at why he did what he did. Look with me in your Bible to verses 5 and 6. In verse 5, Paul relates the ground of authentic ministry. He says, we preach Jesus as Lord. We do not preach ourselves. We do not advertise ourselves. We are your servants for the sake of Jesus Christ. This, Paul says, is his authentic ministry. And then in verse 6, Paul gives the reason of why he preached Christ and why he served the Corinthians. Now, listen closely, because Paul shows us his knowledge of the Old Testament. He also develops what happened to him at a specific time in his life that changed the direction and the trajectory of his life. Paul says this, that God has dispelled darkness by illuminating his heart. God had given Paul a knowledge of the glory of God based upon what he saw in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul then alludes to how God acted in the creation of the world. He says, in the creation of the world, God said, let there be light. By God's intervention, the light shined and the darkness was dispersed. Light always trumps darkness, and it was the case for Paul. Now, here is where he got autobiographical. When Paul encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, an event that transformed his life, he saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun. It was on that road that God saw fit to reveal his Son to Paul. And it was in that unveiled face of Jesus Christ that Paul saw Christ's glory. Paul never forgot what happened to him on that road. It was his transformation. It's what we know as Paul's road of Damascus. It fueled him, it shaped him, and it inspired him, and it lit him up. Paul's theology, his rationale for doing what he does, is based upon a personal encounter with the risen Christ, where he saw Jesus Christ face to face. And when we heard what Paul went through in his ministry, it is that encounter, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that kept him from giving up. In real times like this, in the 21st century, if we are to have an impact anywhere near like the Apostle Paul, I believe it begins with a personal encounter with the risen Lord. So I want to ask you this morning. Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? If Jesus Christ were to return right now, would you be certain of your destination, of going to heaven and being with him forever? Now, in verses 7 through 12, Paul explains to us how he did what he did. How he did what he did. Listen closely. Paul begins by saying this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." In other words, this gospel ministry, this calling that God has placed, this personal encounter with Jesus Christ, we have it within our fragile lives, even our fragile bodies. Why? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, we hold this treasure in jars of clay. As messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you and I are weak. We are fragile. But the transforming power of the gospel does not come from the messenger. The all-surpassing power of the gospel comes from God. Now, I hope you're ready to dig in a little deeper, because Paul next gives four examples or antitheses, four examples or four antitheses to illustrate his weakness in carrying out his commission, his calling, and yet on the other hand, the power of God to see him through. Listen at what he says. "We are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but we're never abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed." In essence, Paul is saying this, that in every instance in his life, in every case of his life, Paul has overcome. Because he says next that in his afflictions, he is carrying around in his body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in his body. Did you hear what's happening here? Within Paul's life, within his body, he reenacts the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is not an example of life after death. This is life in the midst of death. Paul said, "How do I do what I do? The fact is, I don't do what I do. It is God working in me." In Pauline literature in the New Testament, Paul talks about being in union with Jesus Christ, to experience within his body the death of Jesus Christ. That's why he says, yes, I've been hard-pressed. That's death. Yes, I've been perplexed. Yes, I've been persecuted. Yes, I've been struck down. That's what cross living is all about. So let me say to anyone who considers coming to Jesus Christ, I'm not offering you a prosperity gospel. I am not offering to you an easy way, because what I'm saying to you, there will be things that happen to you you cannot hardly take. But for every time you are hard pressed, you are not crushed. For every time you are perplexed, you're not driven to total despair. For every time you are persecuted, you will never be abandoned by Jesus Christ. For every time you're struck down, the hand of God is there to lift you up. This is what life in the midst of death is all about. And then he concludes. Listen at what Paul says. He concludes by saying in verses 11 and 12 that he suffers exposure to death, physical death, for the sake of the Corinthian people, so that they may enjoy more of the risen life of Jesus Christ as a consequence. In other words, we suffer. We embrace the life of the cross so that others might have more joy. He says the deeper his experiences of trials and sufferings, the richer their experience of the joys and privileges of the Christian experience. I wrestled with this text from last Sunday afternoon to the very moment I walked into this pulpit. I'm like you, I listen to Channel 16 at times. And I hear a gospel being preached in many instances that said, if you come to Christ, boy, it's going to be good. It's going to be rich. You're going to get wealthy. You'll be powerful. Well, I believe every bit of that. But the wealth cannot be counted in money, the riches, and accumulation of resources. But I believe the walk can be extremely deep. So I want to give you a way as I close to encounter passages of Scripture like this. Martin Luther lived from 1483 to 1546. He preached and wrote over 3,000 sermons, and he wrote over 50,000 pages. I have in my office the complete works of Martin Luther given to me by College Street Baptist Church. God used Martin Luther to help launch the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Martin Luther said, if you want to read this word and go deep with God to the point of becoming a theologian for Him, then there's three things you need to do. And he based it upon Psalm 119. He said, first of all, when you come to a text like this that is sometimes hard to hear, but can explain hardships and why we must endure, the first thing you must do is before you open this book, you must pray. I quote Martin Luther, "You should completely despair of your own sense and reason, for by these you will not attain the goal. Rather, kneel down in your little private room with sincere humility and earnestness, pray to God through His dear Son, graciously to grant you His Holy Spirit and to enlighten you and guide you and to give you understanding." The second thing Martin Luther said to do based upon his reading of Psalm 119 is this: you must meditate. I let Martin Luther again speak for himself. That means not only in your heart, but also externally. You should constantly handle and compare, read and reread the Word as preached and the very words as written in Scripture, diligently noting and meditating on what the Holy Spirit means. In other words, a casual reading of the Word of God will not suffice. You must read it, and you must read it again. Then you must speak it aloud. You must compare translations. You must compare what he says here versus what he says over there. This is what Paul said is necessary for the Word of God to take hold in your heart. And then the last thing he said is this. He calls it trials. The word is tentatio in the Latin. It means testing. Martin Luther said, "This is the touchstone." I quote again from Martin Luther. "It teaches you not only to know and to understand, but also to experience how right, how true, how sweet, how lovely, how mighty, how comforting God's Word is." It is through trials, it is through temptations, and as Luther said on more than one occasion, through the assaults of the evil one, that we are driven to Jesus Christ. So, going through trials this morning, grab hold of this passage. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Cast down, but not destroyed. I tell you, as a believer of Jesus Christ, we have both the death of Jesus Christ within us, and we have the resurrection. Until we see Him face to face. And all there will be at that time will be light. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, thank you for deep encouragement for ministry that will see us through the real times, the tough times, the challenging times of life. And now, O Lord, raise up a host who will take the next step of going deeper with you, deeper in the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. our hymn of invitations, hymn number 641. I will be down front here to receive you. If God is dealing with you, come. Let's stand now and sing. Opportunity to serve God immediately. We need 10 volunteers who will take a group of children during VBS every day of that week from station to station and will help shepherd them. We need 10 adults. 10 adults who can do that. There's a VBS table out front. Please go there. Please sign up. And so I want to thank you ahead of time. Pray for our youth choir. They will be leaving this Saturday, traveling all around Texas. Pray for their safety. Pray that God speaks through them as they have prepared immensely for this very calling. And tonight we have our college and career class over at our house. We have about 30 people who are coming. But if you have not signed up, we've got plenty of room for you. We cannot wait to fellowship together. Let's pray together. Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, speak to us. May no one leave this place without an encounter with the risen Christ. May it burn so deeply within us that shipwreck, persecution, hard times can deter us from fulfilling our calling. We pray this in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen.